You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Burton Kelso, tech expert, will join us to explain scams and, more importantly, how to avoid them coming up a little bit later this hour. Story comes to us out of the Kansas City Star, and it's about a lawsuit that a woman has filed against Casey Pet Project, saying that Casey Pet Project allowed her to adopt a dog with a known history of aggressive tendencies. This was during the pandemic. July 12th, 2020, she adopted the dog named Dartley from Casey Pet Project, according to a lawsuit filed Monday. During the adoption process, she said she made it very clear, very explicit written and oral statements to staff that she did not want to adopt a, quote, aggressive dog. The lawsuit also claims that she filled out a dog adoption survey explicitly stating she could not tolerate or would not tolerate a dog being aggressive. The lawsuit says staff at Casey Pet Project allegedly repeatedly assured the woman Dartley was not aggressive. In October, a few months later, after adopting Dartley, the woman was in her home when Dartley began to growl at the woman's daughter and her friends. The lawsuit claims that without warning or provocation, Dartley lunged toward the woman, biting her face, resulting in significant wounds and scarring. Again, this is all according to lawsuit. The woman later learned that Casey Pet Project had known about Dartley's aggressive and dangerous propensities and failed to disclose the behavior to her. They looked at the animal review report. Casey Pet Project has all kinds of records in there, and it shows that Dartley had been surrendered to Casey Pet Project about 2 weeks before she adopted him, and he had been surrendered for behavior issues. The previous owner apparently told Casey Pet Project that the dog had a tendency to growl and show his teeth at children and men. Dartley's previous owner also told Casey Pet Project the dog had been abused as a puppy. On July 4th, 2020, the lawsuit says an observation note from Casey Pet Project staff said Dartley showed his teeth and snapped at other dogs who wanted to play. And he attacked another dog, leaving two puncture wounds in that dog's ear. We don't know exactly what she's... It's one of these cases where she's seeking damages in excess of $25,000 for each count, but she wants restitution for fraudulent misrepresentation, basically saying that they lied to her. That she explicitly said, I wanted this thing, and they lied to her.
Yeah, it would be negligent non-disclosure, I think, which is... a lot of people push back on this and be like, that's not their responsibility, what happens with the dog after they sell it. Well, that would be true if you were a private person
right.
who sold your dog to somebody else. But in this case, it would be, because it's the shelter, it would be negligent non-disclosure. It's just separate, harder bar. Then liability, the owner liability.
But, yeah, especially because they have all of this, allegedly, if you believe the lawsuit,
yeah.
they have all this documentation showing. Because initially when I saw this, you know, I now get a little more defensive about stuff like this. But initially when I saw this, I thought, well, define aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a dog growling is not necessarily aggressive. But when you talk about a dog attacking other dogs on multiple occasions and that dog being abused when the dog was younger, that makes sense then that the dog is going to be more defensive and growl and things like that. And so if there are documented cases of, believe me, I've learned through this process that like the state takes bites really seriously, mm-hmm. and that's documented. And
when did obviously this happened a little bit ago, right?
This happened during the pandemic.
So it's been a while.
It's been 5 years.
I was going to say, because you know, the city took animal enforcement back in house
recently.
Yeah, so it doesn't have anything to do with that switchover or anything like that. I mean, it's hard to sit here and blame a shelter who is doing a good deed for. I mean, they get, you know, they make money, but they're doing something positive for the city. They're providing a service, providing a function. But if they didn't disclose that the animal was aggressive, that the dog was aggressive, then I think that they're on the hook for it.
And I wonder, and you know, you wonder how that happens. Did it, was it just human error where it just wasn't entered correctly? I mean,
you know better than anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, they adopt out thousands of dogs a year.
Yeah, because they take in, and if you follow their website, follow them on Facebook, and they every single day they put up pictures of the dogs that they've taken in or the animals that they've taken in. Mm-hmm. It's 20 a day.
Yeah.
Sometimes more. I mean, they're always full.
And
over there,
Missouri law, again, for people saying she's suing them for the dog. No. She's suing them for not disclosing that the dog was aggressive.
Right.
The current, in Missouri law, the current owner is strictly liable for bites. So it would have to be for non-disclosure.
Right.
And I guess damages from the non-disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely don't remember. And this is what Casey Pet Project will probably say. Mm-hmm. We told you. Like you're saying disclose this.
Yes.
We told you.
Yeah.
We told you what
and
we told you about
said
the dog's
it
background.
Was fine.
Because when I adopted Gordon, you're in a like a kind of a different headspace when you're doing this.
Yep.
I was in a rush. I was all excited. I couldn't wait to take the puppy home and introduce him to, you know, my wife and Henry was so excited. I wasn't paying attention. It's easy to see because she also had kids, right? Didn't she?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought she, no.
It's possible. Maybe I might have missed that detail.
But whatever. She was excited about bringing the dog home. You might not be thinking clearly. You might not even hear it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, their ears hopefully would perk up if they were told this dog has a history of aggressive behavior. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, maybe the standard needs to be if they have that history, you need to sit down with the people and they have to agree 3 times that they understand that this dog has exhibited aggressive tendencies in the past.
And sign paper. You're right. Yeah. She did have a daughter because it was when the dog growled at the woman's daughter and her friends.
Right. So she was probably excited about bringing the dog home. That's, I don't know that they didn't tell her. I also don't know that if they told her, they didn't make it very clear.
Right.
I find it hard to believe that they would just totally ignore their most basic standards in the law of telling this woman that this was an aggressive dog.
Especially because, and I'll speak to this as a foster, where if you look on the Casey Pet Project's website, or if you inquire with them, if you look at the dogs that they have available for adoption, and then you ask more about them, they will tell you things like, this dog cannot go to a home with children. Because of resource guardian with kids in the past. And it's state law. I mean, they have to update that. They have to tell you that. This dog cannot go to a home with men. This dog cannot go to a home with other dogs. I mean, they're pretty clear about that because for this exact reason, that they are held liable then if they knew that there was some kind of bite and then they let you have the dog anyway. They're very diligent about it. I'm struggling, and maybe I'm biased here, but I'm struggling with this lawsuit because I just know how they work. But maybe they weren't as diligent back then.
You've done this. So you fostered the dog from them. Did they explain the dog's background when you took like a Claire?
Yes. And they tell you a lot more than they put on the website. I mean, because they have pages and pages and pages and pages of notes.
So then one of several things happened. Either they didn't explain it to her and just totally were like, yeah, just take the dog. Thanks for the money.
Right.
Or they did and she didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
And they may have had it in the paperwork, but that's the other thing is, wouldn't there be paperwork that signifies you that would, for CYA for the shelter?
Yeah. I mean, when you adopt a dog, you have to sign.
Yeah.
You have to sign all kinds of stuff. So is this a woman who just doesn't want to pay her medical bills for the injuries? Is it, was she not as clear about not wanting an aggressive dog as she said she was?
So I did find a behavior disclaimer from KC Pet Project from 2020. So this would be the one that she signed.
Okay.
We cannot make any guarantees about how an animal will behave in its new home.
Of course I can't.
When behavior history information is available, KC Pet Project will share it with adopters because it was not directly observed by KCPP staff. We cannot guarantee the validity of behavior information reported by a previous owner.
Also, you don't know what that woman's daughter or friend did that antagonized the dog a little bit. That happens all the time where, again, with resource guarding, I've learned.
Yep.
Like the dog, Eclair that I have, you know, like you think she's playing and then she growls and she's not playing.
Yeah, Gordon does that with food.
Yeah.
If he's
especially
eating,
with food. Yes.
He's been with us for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it has not changed. We've done all the training, everything you possibly can. Doesn't change in for 10 years. He will beg for food and then you pour it into his dish and he goes.
Yeah. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's what happened. I mean, were they messing with the dog a little bit and shouldn't have?
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to see how this one ends.
we should have the Wayside Wives on and ask them about KC Pet Project and how. No, they probably wouldn't sully the good name of another shelter. I'm assuming. All right. Coming up, we're going to have Burton Kelso on. He's an authority on everything tech, but he is going to specifically be on here to talk about crypto scams and all of the other scams that are out there where people are getting catfished, taking money to a crypto ATM, all that. We'll talk to him in just about 5 minutes on Midday.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal Ark machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
All right, we keep doing stories every single day about the different scams that, and they're all new. Every day that we talk about one of these scams, it's another one that we had not talked about before, or it's a new twist on a scam that we had not talked about before. And it seems like cryptocurrency is playing more of a role in it. And I'll be honest, I feel kind of dumb when we're talking about some of this stuff. But more importantly, I am worried for people who are going to fall victim to this. And so Burton Kelso, who is our local tech expert, was kind enough to make some time for us.
Hey, Burton.
To help us out.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How's it going?
This is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of crazy too. Can we just, because we've done this several times on air, talking about crypto. Burton, for people who don't know what cryptocurrency or crypto is, I know it's been like 10 years since it really started blowing up. What is it?
Help.
What the hell is it?
I call it monopoly money because it's basically electronic currency that doesn't conform to standard banks across the globe. So it's a form of electronic currency that you can either invest in, convert your hard-earned money from government dollars to cryptocurrency. And there's different forms of cryptocurrency, like Bitcoin is the most popular one. But the whole idea is that you're not beholden to banks. It's electronic. You can move it around anywhere. But the bad thing about it, it's untraceable, meaning that if you convert your cash into crypto and give it to a criminal, they can run off with it. And there's nothing you can do to try to reclaim that money back because it's electronic.
Okay. Yeah. So then, and again, I admittedly, this is not my area of expertise. So take me through the process. If someone is, because we just did the story a couple of days ago about the guy locally who was scammed out of $120,000 by this woman claimed to be Lisa on TikTok and then had him go to a crypto ATM to take out all this money and give it to her. And I wouldn't even, if you told me to go to a crypto ATM, I'd be like, do what?
Yeah.
Go where? Explain kind of how that process would happen and why that's a red flag in a scam.
Well, the red flag is anytime someone wants you to convert regular currency into cryptocurrency. I mean, that's a hard, either you're dealing with someone who's in technology or you're dealing with the criminal. And again, criminals love cryptocurrency because there's no way
to
retrieve that. Yeah, there's no way to get any of that information back or that money back. So in a romance scam, which is one of the few scams or one of the many scams that criminals will use, you would go, you withdraw money from a bank, you know, a large amount, like $10,000, $20,000, go to a crypto ATM, and they're like in gas stations and places where you normally would do money transactions, and you would insert your money, your cash into the cryptocurrency, and then it would allow the person on the other end to receive that money. And of course, it's gone once you put it in that crypto ATM. So I think the big moral of the story, since we're talking about helping people, is if someone wants cash, then, you know, my motto is don't loan it to them because you'll never get it back. But anytime that you're talking about crypto, it's going to someone who's just going to run off with your money and never deal with it again. And so the scams you have to look at are the romance scams, the tech support scams, your bank is saying that there's problems with your, you know, with anything, credit card, financial. Anytime that someone is telling you to go to a crypto ATM, it's a scam. And that's what we need to, the message we need to get out.
What does that replace? Is it replaced just the meet me in an alleyway with a bag of money? Like, I guess wire transfers. And then, you know, if you did those, you'd have to go to a bank or at least there was a paper trail for it.
Oh, you've nailed it. It is the wire transfer replacement, because with wire transfer now, they can kind of reverse that, track out where that money goes to. With cryptocurrency, you cannot track it at all. Once it's in someone's account, it's gone. It's gone forever, and there's nothing that you can do about it. But I think what the ultimate lesson that everyone needs to know about cybercrime in the U.S., even in the Kansas City area, is understanding that cybercrime is a human problem, meaning that these criminals aren't logging into your devices and stealing your stuff. They're enticing you with socially engineered scams that are either designed to scare you or to lure you in with the promise of something that isn't too good, that is too good to be true. And if it sounds too good to be true, then you should know in today's world it's a scam. If it is an alert that said that you're in trouble, always call the place of authority, whether it's your bank, credit card, the IRS, call them directly to make sure that it is a legitimate call that they're making, rather than you just falling to this text message or the phone call that comes to you saying that you're in trouble.
Burton, I think a lot of us hear about these scams, and every time we and I do one of these, we think, wow, how did you not know that this was, that they were coming after you? I mean, the people that thought that it was really Brad Pitt or George Clooney that was, you know.
You're a 60-year-old guy, and this 30-year-old woman thinks that you're the hottest thing on the planet, and she wants to meet you.
Yeah.
But you need to pay off her house first.
And we listen to this and go, how did, but I feel like a lot of people say, oh, I'll never be a victim because I'm too smart. But it's a lot of people that are the victims of scams.
Right. It's social engineering. And people need to understand how cyber criminals work. This is not kids in the basement sending out pranks. You're talking about well-organized criminal organizations that sit and think about how can we prey on the emotions of people and get them to give out their hard-earned money or even get their identity. So they have meetings like you, Jamie, you and John go into meetings and talk about stuff. But they don't talk about, well, how can we get, you know, how can we improve on our broadcast? It's more about how can we, what's the next way we can get money out of people? And it's usually fear that does it. So everyone is prone to something that they're afraid of, whether it be a, I don't want to be alone. So this hot chick named Larry wants to need to pay off their house. Or I don't want that toll road bill to be outstanding, so I'm going to take care of it. They prey on that, and that's what people need to realize.
Well, you know, when I hear about people falling for these scams, what flashes in my head is this has never happened to me because I'm too cynical. I just don't trust anything, and that's it. But the problem, which is good,
that's good.
But I don't like rewarding that pessimism. I don't like the fact that that's almost a superpower in modern society, because it makes it so I don't get scammed, because it also makes me more likely to think I'm going to, you know, die in a traffic accident at any given time when I'm driving, or you know what I mean? It makes us trying to eliminate that vulnerability actually makes us feel vulnerable all the time.
Right.
I'm gonna go with that and say no. You, in today's digital world, you better be a cynic, because I'm almost like I won't say the X-Files, but don't trust anything that comes in.
Yeah.
Because you really have to adopt that practice because that's how scammers get you. They want you to be trusting and they want you to be fearful, but you need to be the cynic and look at that email or that text message that comes in and say, yeah, I don't know if I trust that. Let me call the source to verify that this text message, phone call, or even email is legitimate. So I'm going to go on that cynical bandwagon, because, I mean, I'm the same way. I don't trust anything that comes in.
Burton, this is maybe more of a question for a psychologist, but when we're talking about these, the catfishing scams, we always talk about, like, oh, this idiot, this moron. When we talk about some old lady who thought her grandson was in a Mexican jail,
right,
and or he was being kidnapped, and we're like, oh my god, that poor woman. When people are the victims of the catfishing stuff, do you think it's less likely that they actually go and report it? And I guess at the heart of my question is, do you think that there's a lot more of this going on and people don't report it because they're afraid to admit that they got scammed?
Oh, heck yeah. Especially with catfishing.
Yeah,
we see it all the time with my IT company. People are embarrassed. And I mean, you really can't be embarrassed. But at the same time, you know, you have to use real world sense as far as these situations are concerned. Yes, we're in a digital world. But at the same time, if you're developing a relationship, you've got to meet that person before you start giving out personal assets to verify that they say who they say they are. You have to do real world verification. If Johnny says, "Hey, I'm stuck in a well and I need $10,000 to help climb out of this well," you better call Johnny and make sure that he was the one calling, rather than just believing anything that comes into your inbox or your voicemail box.
Burton, I hate to ask this, but what don't we know right now? What scams are out there that we need to be aware of that are going to be next that we're going to be talking about?
Well, the biggest one, people are always focusing on Meemaw and Pawpaw, as far as being victims of scams, but actually your teenagers are the ones that are falling for the hard scams, because teenagers don't care about tech devices and they just want the reward. So criminals are focusing on teens with sextortion scams, with AI scams, with deep fake and voice cloning scams are starting to ramp up, not geared to Meemaw and Pawpaw, but geared towards your teenagers. And it's the same scam that's directed to them, such as catfishing or romance scams and even financial scams, as opposed to older adults. So those are that we have to shift the focus and not necessarily worry about our older adults, but we need to really look at our teenagers as well and make sure that they know what they need to do in order to protect themselves from the variety of scams out there.
Yeah, there was a story a little while ago about a teenage boy who killed himself because he had fallen into one of these scams where the girl, I'm saying girl in quotation marks as if people can see me, the girl said like, hey, you send me pictures, I'll send you pictures. And then she's like, hey, by the way, now you are in possession of child pornography and you were distributing child pornography because you're under 18.
Right.
So if you don't want me to report you to the police and you go to jail for the rest of your life, then you need to send me whatever through Venmo, like thousands of dollars from your parents' thing. His parents didn't have the money.
Wow.
And he ended up killing himself.
Oh my God.
And it was literally like they saw, his parents saw him at dinner that night. And within a couple of hours, he had killed himself.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's terrifying. So people need to have a talk with their kids. I saw that story and immediately had a talk with my teenage son about it. And of course, like, I would never fall for that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
One other thing I was going to throw out too, real quick. AI scams geared towards kids. Make sure that you put parental controls on your kids' chatbots. ChatGPT is rolling it out. There's Baby Grok, and also Google Gemini has parental controls that you can monitor your kids' AI usage.
I would just say go into the router and block those websites from any device that they have, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't work, because your kid's going to go on their smartphone and go to their friend's house or use their mobile. You got to have the conversation.
You're assuming my kids have friends.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Well, Bert, let me ask you one last thing before we let you go, because we have been talking a lot about the crypto ATMs and that scam. What kind of regulations would you like to see? As far as that's concerned, I just threw this out yesterday that I can't believe that somebody could just go to one of these ATMs and just immediately start putting money into it without like there being a waiting period.
Mm-hmm.
You act like these tech companies care.
Yeah,
they don't. They're all about what the latest technology to push forward, like the metaverse, like crypto. So it's up to consumers to understand what they need to do in order to protect themselves. So if you're going to withdraw money, then you need to go to your bank and go to the ATM rather than going to some gas station that has the standalone ATM. Just alone for the withdrawal or the fees that they have associated with using those ATM, go to your bank and just keep in mind the traditional methods of doing things rather than thinking that everything that you have to do is high tech, because the tech companies don't care. So you've got to train yourself. You've got to build your own human firewall to make sure that you're staying safe from all the scams that are out there.
All right. Burton Kelso, chief technology expert and owner of Integral. Thank you so much for joining us on Midday.
Oh, thanks for having
me. Thanks, Burton.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I like talking to Burton.
It's
I love
terrifying.
Him. Lovely man. Scares me to death.
Coming up, we've been pretty serious all morning.
It's been a rough day.
Let's do this. If you've bought candy for Halloween already, guess what? You're going to end up buying it again.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because you're a gluttonous fiend. We'll talk about it next on Midday.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Fess up. Is this you? Are you one of the 26% of people who admit they have had to restock their Halloween candy three times or more?
Three times.
Already. Let's see. There was a survey of 2,000 adults. This was done on behalf of CVS Pharmacy, found that the average American eats through their Halloween candy stash twice before Halloween arrives.
Right. Some of us don't even have our costumes yet.
Yeah, we're working on it for next hour. Be here for that. We have not bought the candy yet because my wife is smart. And it's like, if I have it in the house, we're going to eat it.
Oh, especially like, with the boys. Yeah.
So here's what I wonder. Are people actually buying the Halloween candy early with it actually in mind? Mm-hmm. I'm saving this for Halloween. Because if so, then you would think they'd put it in the freezer.
Right.
Or hide it somewhere where it's not within plain.
The garage freezer won't be in mind.
And then you just set a reminder for yourself on Halloween. Make sure you remember the candy's upstairs in the attic. But I don't know. I wonder how many people buy the candy and be like, I'm totally eating this. Like, I'm just taking this
home. Just acknowledge it.
I'm just using it as an excuse.
Just own it. How many people buy Halloween candy like on November 1st for next year? Like when it's on clearance on sale and save it for next year?
Wouldn't it be bad by next year?
If you freeze it.
Oh, I don't know.
If you freeze it, it'd be fine.
I don't know.
Because that's a good way to go.
913-586-7798.
Same thing with Christmas decorations. If you do that the day after.
Then
you can freeze it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, same thing with Halloween costumes.
But man, 26% of people have to go back and get candy three more times.
And this is always a general rule we have anytime there's a study where the admission is something embarrassing.
Yeah,
that
just means
it's that 26%. You have to double that number.
Yes.
It's not 26% of people. It's 50% of people at least buy the candy and have eaten it twice already. So what goes into that? Is that like it's in the house? I can't resist it. Is it a willpower issue? Because if you're generally buying it, intending it for it to be for trick or treaters, and you just think, I'll just have a little bit. There's such a huge bag. And who knows? We might not even get trick or treaters this year. I don't know.
Why are you set? So, and I wonder if people are setting it out. Mm-hmm. Like some people, like my mom always has just a bowl of candy out for when people stop by.
Yeah. Is it actual candy? Or is it like old lady candy, like ribbon candy?
It's usually good candy. Okay. It's usually, especially if I'm there, it's usually good stuff. Cause she has grandkids that stop by and stuff like that. And there's just always candy out. If you are buying Halloween candy now, are you putting it out? Are you like where it's accessible in a bowl? Because in that case, of course, people are going to snack on it. What do you think?
You need to hide it.
Otherwise, I think you thought, oh, I bought more than I'm going to need. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to need that much. So it's okay if we get into it.
All right. Here, here's what I want to talk about, because I've had to start doing this, or ask my wife to start doing this for me. Do you hide food from yourself? Or have somebody, if you live with somebody, do you have them hide it from you? Katie wants to have snacks in the house because she is able to control her eating.
Yes.
And also the kids like to have Twinkies and stuff. And she's also like, well, they need something for their lunches. Like, I can't send them to school without like a Twinkie. I can't just send them with healthy food. Like, what kind of monster would that make me? And I've been like, okay, that's fine. You need to start hiding it from me. Because I will be sitting there watching Thursday Night Football. I just know it. And I'll be like, I know it's 10 o'clock, but I'm going to get a Twinkie. And that ruins my diet. It ruins everything for the next day.
But do you have like a safe word or something where like if you really want it?
No.
That she should give it to you?
No, I haven't even thought that
There's
far.
No like, it no, also I makes, really mean it. Give it to me right now.
It also makes it fun because it gives me a little treasure hunt when I... I'll still look for it.
Like, she's not home. I'm going to go look around and see if I can figure out
where she's asleep. I'm going to go look for her. I'm going to go rummage for Twinkies in the kitchen. And she's hitting them really well. I have not found them yet.
Wow. The number of things that your wife has to do.
I know, right?
So
it's almost like she has a child for a husband.
Three of you. Yeah. I am a stress eater. I cannot have snacks in the house because I will eat them. I just had family in town last week, and I love having my family here. Hate that. And the Italian in me over prepares to have family here.
Yeah.
So of course I went and I bought five different kinds of snacks and cheese and crackers and all that kind of stuff, because I want people to be so full they can barely breathe. And then I don't want that stuff in my house anymore because I will eat it. And I have done the thing where, but I mean, I know where I hid it, so I'm going to remember, but sometimes I don't. Usually if it's in like the back of the freezer, like put it under the frozen vegetables in the back of the freezer. Sometimes there, I won't remember or put it, because I'm 5 feet tall, put it somewhere. Like I'm not climbing on cabinets at 2 a.m, you know, put it somewhere up where I'm not going to go.
That's
after
good.
It.
Yeah. Just make it harder for yourself.
Just make it much harder.
Yeah, make future you frustrated.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not worth the effort.
Katie hides the snacks from me. My theory is this is why Americans are so fat now, is because food isn't, it's not because it's become more plentiful. We were farmers, for God's sake. You ever see farmers?
Right.
You ever see how much food those people have? They've got tons of food.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's because it's become easier to have. Like, it's become, you just open up a little package and you got your Doritos or your Twinkies, or it just became so much, not more plentiful, but accessible.
Yeah.
You don't have to cook, you know?
Like, and in
you
smaller have a packages, so you only eat a little bit.
You have a microwave, so you want to have leftovers, you just pop them in there for 30 seconds, you got your food again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah, if you hide food.
If
you're the one who is responsible for that, or do you have to hide food from the kids?
Yeah.
Because I can totally get that, you know, if the kids are, especially if your kids are at home alone ever, which most kids are at some point.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, it's such a horrible thing that's what we have to do.
From the text line, I love this, and I think this is something Katie should do. You know those little 99-cent bottles, the 99 alcohol bottles?
Oh, yeah,
those,
yeah.
Like, flavored
little
things?
Yeah, so little airplane bottles.
I hide those around my house, and then when my husband, in places where my husband will clean, so that he'll find them as he cleans, and it gives him an incentive to actually pick up after himself.
I like a little adventure
hunt. That's actually brilliant.
That's great.
Yeah. What do you hide around the house? 913-586-7798. Real quick, let's go to Dave in Liberty. Hey, Dave.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad to hear there's somebody else that has just cravings at nighttime.
Yeah.
I can go all day and I eat healthy and I don't. I wake up in the morning, I'm fine. I don't have any cravings, nothing like that. Something about sitting down in front of the TV and I just want to munch.
I don't know what it is either, man. I will don't eat until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Wake up, skip breakfast, don't eat till 2.
It's a horrible habit.
Katie comes home, I've made dinner, I'll have a little bit of dinner. That should be enough for the rest of the day.
Yes. Well, but you didn't eat all day.
Well, I ate at 2. I eat lunch right after we're done with the show, and then I'll eat it again at like 6. And that should be good. I should be good for the rest of the day. But exactly what Dave was talking about, I sit there at like 10 o'clock going, man, I don't know if there's any of that leftover chili.
You should just go to bed. That's when you should be asleep.
Good. Yeah. But I don't sleep. I don't go to sleep till 2 o'clock in the morning either.
Yes.
It's a problem. 913-586-7798. All right, back to this. What do you hide around the house? What is something that you have maybe hidden right now in your house that you're either keeping from yourself or like, I don't know, get as a reward for cleaning?
Or like, who's already bought Christmas gifts? And you've had to hide that.
Okay, you haven't had to hide Christmas gifts?
When I was a kid, and my mom already knows this, but I waited a long time before I told her. I was home alone as a kid. Yeah. You know, I was 10 years old when I first started staying home alone. And my mom would buy Christmas gifts. And I was a brat. And so she would wrap them and put them under the Christmas tree. Well, you're leaving me alone. And that's temptation. So I would get out a razor blade. I'd cut the tape.
That's impressive, open it, actually.
See what it was, tape it back, put tape exactly where she had the tape over it, and then I would act surprised on Christmas Day.
We found them one year when I was really young, and my mom was so devastated. Because it's one thing that we found them. We didn't, they came home and I was playing. It was me and my brother and sister.
Oh, I was sneakier than that. No, I didn't do that.
We found them and we're playing with our toys, and my mom was devastated.
Did Christmas end after that?
No, it wasn't like, well, you're never having Christmas again. Because obviously Santa Claus still needed to deliver other toys.
Well, he just brought them to other kids' house.
If anything, I got more presents because I just found the ones that my parents got me, not the one Santa Claus is bringing. 913-586-7798. Emergency $20 in the Monopoly box. No one ever finishes a game to find it.
They never will.
Do you hide money, alcohol, candy?
Do we not trust each other?
What do you have hidden in your house? 913-586-7798. And where do you live if it's money? I need it. The IRS is after me.
No, you just got a big refund. What are you talking about?
It's next.
All right. What have you hidden? From your kids? From your spouse?
From yourself?
From yourself?
913-586-7798 from the text line. 2194 says, I'm always shocked at how many half drunk bottles of Smirnoff I'm able to find in various locations of my house. It doesn't surprise me though, sir, that or madam, that you get drunk and then just forget.
Someone in your house have an alcohol problem? Yeah. They're hiding half drunk bottles.
No, they said they drank them.
Oh,
that
okay.
They get half drunk, then you're just like, or maybe company came over. I did that with vodka upstairs drinking in my office, and Finn came in. I was like, and I hit it because I didn't want my kid to see me. I just want him to think that there's something wrong with my brain, not that I'm drunk.
Okay. I told you the story off the air that when I was a kid, I had a cousin over. We did sleepovers all the time. My parents would let us sleep in their bed and stay up late and play. And so we were making candy cigarettes. This was the 80s, guys. And I don't know.
Wait, what do you make candy cigarettes out of?
We cut like pieces of paper and we found pink candy to indicate the flame and like filled it with pink candy. Oh, and that was the candy cigarette. Okay. And I don't know what made me start digging through my mom's drawers. I don't know what prompted me to go on this search, but I found my parents' marijuana stash in a drawer. And I didn't know what it was. I thought it was stuff to make cigarettes out of. And so we grabbed it with the papers that go with it, and we made cigarettes out of that stash. And the next morning, what do you tell me? You know, what do you say about it?
That is our special
don't
tobacco.
Touch that ever.
Yeah, that's dad's jazz cabbage.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, don't hide stuff in your drawers if you don't want your kids to find it.
Yeah, they will.
They're going to find it. They're going to go in your bedroom and they're going to find
it. There's a perverse pleasure in digging that stuff out and finding it. From the text line, speaking of perversity, 3125 says, not me, but my dad used to hide pornography all over the house. Why would he hide it all over the house, sir? Why wouldn't he just keep it restricted to his bedroom? He put it in the vents. He was using it to line the attic.
Has anyone found, if you're a parent or a child, have you found your parents' sensual aids?
Oh, like a
anywhere,
duffel bag?
Just, I don't know, wherever you keep them.
Dropped it and it started moving on its own.
But has anybody, where are you hiding those? And if your kids ever, or did you ever discover those at your parents?
I would wager, not based on personal experience, but I would wager nightstand, probably.
isn't that the first place they're going to look?
Why would they look there? That's on
in
them.
In the nightstand?
If they start looking through your stuff, I figured that if they find something traumatic, they have the right. They should
you,
be traumatized.
You deserve it.
Yeah, you deserve it.
Uh-huh, for yeah. being traumatized. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess Dad has some kind of skin issue. He has all of this lotion and... and lubricant. I don't know what's going on here.
Well, I think he uses that to massage his jaw.
So coming up, we're going to do our list nominations this week. It's very special. Really excited about this. It's Quentin's costume. You guys get to pick what Quentin is going to wear for Halloween. That's coming up next.
You get to make suggestions and we pick, right?
Yeah. Well, that's well, they'll pick eventually.
Yeah.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.